it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for the past 8 years, we have been doing our best to help you understand the complexity of being a human being. We are physical, we are emotional, we are intellectual, and we are spiritual. And I don't mean necessarily religious by that, but I mean connected to energetically these higher powers that we do have. So we are connected to all living things, whether it's an animal or a plant, or even the table in your kitchen in a way, because we have vibrational frequencies, and those frequencies interact with other frequencies. As a result, staying healthy, which is what we're going to talk about today, is a little more complicated than just you might think. I mean, you know, the food that you eat, or the stress level that you're on under, or the amount of sleep maybe that you're getting or not getting, or the relationships that you're in, or a lot of other things. But we're going to be talking about a little piece of that that is critically important for regeneration, for staying healthy on that level, you know, because our cells are constantly, I think Dr. Gross will be a better person to explain this to you than I am, but we're constantly regenerating new cells. But sometimes those cells aren't necessarily healthy cells, is my understanding. And so a lot of what we need to do to make sure that that regeneration, whether we're introducing stem cells or understanding the complexity of that field in general, it also is determined by how healthy we are and all of these other stressors that impact us. Am I saying that somewhat correctly?
So far, so good.
Okay. So if you want to hear some of Dr. Gross's prior shows that we have done together, then go to synergyconnectionradio.com. All of the shows are archived there. You can find the majority of them on your podcast, whether it's Spotify or Apple or Google or iHeartRadio. They're also there. But a lot of the shows over all of these years are totally archived at that website. So again, it's synergyconnectionradio.com. There you're also going to see a link to Boomers Forever Young. And I have been using their products for 9 years now. And of those 9 years, you know, we encountered COVID. And I know that I stayed healthy because I never did take the COVID shot. I personally didn't believe that it was healthy for me to take it. And I check with my body on a regular basis to see, you know, what does it need and what does it want? It didn't want that shot. And so I made sure that I just used everything else in my power to stay healthy. And I think I did get COVID, although it was never totally identified. I mean, I took, you know, the swabs, but I think I just developed an immune reaction to whatever that was. And certainly, you know, here I am all these years later and doing just fine. Whereas a lot of my friends that did take the shot, unfortunately, there's not one of them that didn't develop AFib. And I don't know whether Dr. Gross can address that anomaly or not, but I just thought it was so interesting that over time, every single person that took the COVID shot has now got AFib, and they're having to deal with that particular condition. So again, check out Boomers Forever Young. They have two new products, Myotrol, M-Y-O-T-R-O-L, and Collagene, C-O-L-A-G-E-N-E. Collagene signals your body to start rebuilding cartilage, and Myotrol signals your body to get up and move, and you start rebuilding your muscle. And one of the biggest problems for seniors over the age of, I would say, 70, is they're not moving enough, their muscles are wasting. That leads to falls, that leads to fractured hips, and maybe torn rotator cuffs and other kinds of complications, and they don't recover as well. So if you can stay healthy with your muscle mass If you can stay healthy with rebuilding cartilage in your body, I think that's probably a good way to go rather than surgeries and other complications that might happen down the road. So check out their website. If you decide you want to order anything, the company for all these years has allowed me to offer 15% discount. And, in today's market, 15% is better than, as they say, a poke in the eye. So, enjoy getting at least some of your money taken off of the total cost of whatever you're ordering. All right, welcome back, Dr. Gross. It's always fun to have you on, and I hope that everybody really loves learning about stem cells and regeneration. And today we're going to talk about exosomes and addressing what these little guys are. I look them up, and it was kind of interesting because they referred to them as microscopic sacs, like little tiny sacs. And that they are released by nearly every cell in the body, and that they are critical messengers that carry proteins, lipids, and genetic material, and it travels from one cell to the other. So I was picturing this little assembly line of these little sacs moving along. And I don't know whether that's a good picture in my mind or not, but I thought I would throw that back to you because I did try to understand what they were.
Yeah, no, that's a good start, and we can build on that.
Okay.
Because we've talked about stem cells and peptides and things, and these things work by signaling, and we're now referring this as cell signaling. All these things signal to our cells, they communicate with our cells. And they communicate in such a way to influence what's going on inside of our cell. So, what genes are being called upon? Because we have lots of genes. They're not all being read and transcribed and made into proteins at any one time. They're usually in groups, groups that might foster inflammation and damage, and groups that might foster the opposite, anti-inflammatory, youthful, restorative, regenerative. Optimal mode. That's what we want. And aging is an accumulation of inflammatory damage at the cellular level. So if we can slow and reverse that by influencing our cells in what's going on inside of our cells, then gosh, we have a nice strategy. So we do that by signaling. Signaling comes in two forms. It comes in the small molecule form, or called peptide or protein or growth factor form, and it comes in the vesicle form. So, as you noted, a vesicle is a small outbubbling of a cell. It grabs a little membrane and makes a little, bubble, and then that bubble pinches off and becomes its own little piece. And it takes with it some elements of a cell. That could be, like you said, it could be some proteins and growth factors that are inside the vesicle as opposed to outside. It could take a few lipids, and it takes, you said, genetic material, but specifically microRNA. It's not bringing any genes with it per se. There can be some small fragments of DNA, but it's not genomic. It's not a gene. So you're not getting any genes. But those things go inside your cell, the recipient cell, by fusing the membrane and delivering the contents at much higher bioavailability to the cell. And then that cell, then the machinery is, it's like new instructions, new factory instructions, and it's way for like one cell communicate with its neighbors in a neighborhood watch. It sends out these vesicles and these, if you had a neighborhood watch, you saw a prowler and you want to tell all your neighbors about it. So if a cell is under attack, let's say it got infected by bacteria, then it can tell all its neighbors, hey, prepare for attack, go to defense mode, make the machinery, the proteins, the peptides of that. We want that. But when we talk about those vesicles, and for fun, we call them exosomes. Exo meaning out of the cell, soma, somes, or soma meaning the body of the cell. So out of the body of the cell, you get this small vesicle. And it's kind of funny because cells are already small. Cells are measured in microns, 10 to the minus 6 meters in diameter. But the vesicles are 1,000 times smaller. They're measured in 10 to the minus 9 meters, or what we call nanometers. So some people call these nanoparticles or nanolipid, nano, lipid, contain membranes, or sacs, like you said. So these are all throughout our body, and we focus on the regenerative exosomes, the ones that come from stem cells. Because at the end of the day, as I mentioned in our prior talk, stem cells really aren't doing the work. They don't replace your tissue. They don't grow into anything. They don't regenerate. They give a signal to our cells by these small molecules and the exosomes. And our cells actually do the regeneration. And they can. They built us in the first place many years earlier. They repaired us and healed us when we were younger. They're just not as good at it because they got all gunked up with the inflammation of life. So we can use a youthful signal to remind them what it is to be younger. That's what exosome therapy is all about. And when you get a stem cell therapy, you're really getting exosome therapy.
That is really a very clear, actually, definition of what's going on, because at least I could follow it and I understood, what was happening. Now, the exosome itself is going to be able to do this function, but what if the person that is, let's say, getting stem cell injections in order to rejuvenate? Do you follow me so far?
Yes.
What if they maybe have other complicating factors going on? Will it work as well if their job is really stressful and they're carrying that stress home with them? Will it work as well if they have, I don't know, maybe an autoimmune disorder? Will it work as well if they, their diet is compromised and maybe they're not really eating all that healthy? Does
Yeah.
it still work?
Well, like anything in the biological systems, there's a plus and a minus, right? The more inflamed someone is, the more inflamed, like autoimmune issue or stress or all these things, which cause more cellular inflammation, the more room we have to get benefit from exosome therapy or stem cell therapy. Again, stem cell being a delivery of the actual exosomes, which are doing the work. However, if the environment of the body is optimized already through, good mental health, diet, nutrition, sleep, exercise, all kinds of things, then we can sometimes get a better, the terrain is prepared for a therapy. So when I do knee and spine and joint injections for cartilage regeneration, I'm using exosomes. I want the body as prepared as possible. Because I want to move the needle and grow more cartilage and keep someone off the operating table better. So I think those are important considerations, as you mentioned, Lucy. But sometimes both segments are necessary. So we need someone who's very badly stressed and inflamed could really benefit from an exosome treatment or a stem cell treatment. But also, if someone's optimized, we might get more out of it. So I've seen both.
Have you ever heard of something called EBU treatments?
I sure have. We have one here in the office.
Okay. So, can that also work then with these other modalities? I mean, can you do them together?
Yes, we do the EBU first to filter the blood, deliver oxygen and ozone to the blood. And also, we add the UV light treatment to the blood, photobiomodulation. Back to your initial discussion about wavelengths and how we're all connected. Light has wavelengths and all those vibrational frequencies. So, and we think that's working mostly at the mitochondrial level. So we do EBU and help someone, clean up and detoxify. And then right after, while they still have an IV in, we'll give the exosomes. So that's the order. You don't want to do the exosomes first, they'll potentially leave through the EBU. So we want to do the EBU first, clean, then treat, clean, then treat.
There are some individuals that I'm aware of that have had this treatment, one being somebody who actually unfortunately has died now, but he had the treatment probably a year and a half ago, and I didn't think he would make it then, and it turned him around at least for the last year, maybe in, I don't know, a year and 3 or 4 months, and then
Yeah.
he deteriorated very quickly, but he had stage 4 bone cancer. So he
Yeah.
was, you know, in bad shape. But I was just floored with the difference that the Eboo treatment made, because he went from having no energy, no, I mean, he just wasn't quite there, to being his old self, except that he had stage four cancer.
Yeah, it can be a useful adjunct treatment. By itself, it's not adequate. You know, when you really want to restore the body, we look at the foundational elements. We look at labs. We look at, you know, do you need a, especially if you had a COVID vaccine, do you need a mitochondrial repair cycle of peptides? There's so many ways to come out at energy deficits. Maybe it's hormone optimization. There's so many things we look at, and you may need all of them, or some of them, or we do them sequentially. But it's nice to have a cleansing, filtering system like Eboo to add as one element, especially if you if he's got bone cancer, maybe he had chemotherapy and other things. So Eboo might help cleanse his blood after that treatment.
Are you just absolutely thrilled that you do, I don't think, any surgeries anymore, and that you're able to help people get well, you know, really working with nutrition and working with these other kinds of modalities?
Yes and no. Of course, I love not having to offer surgery to people and finding them non-surgical alternatives that, in some cases, are better with, of course, fewer, you know, invasiveness, fewer risks. However, I am, you know, I've done thousands of surgeries. I'm technically trained to do, you know, the minimally invasive things. We are just in the process of opening our own super high-end injection facility, and we have a protocol for doing surgery by an injection. For example, you've heard of perhaps a spinal fusion, right? And this is typically a very large procedure. Let's say it's your low back. You have to open up the low back and screw, you know, rods and screws and all kinds of things to do this. Well, we now have an approach that we can cause a fusion by an injected-based procedure, a needle-based procedure, and we're going to be doing those. So I'll be doing non-surgical surgery again and advancing the forefront of you know, medicine and of procedures and of treatment without surgery, I think has become my calling, whether I ask for it or not. That's how I'm wired.
I think that's amazing. So there will be a minimally in like a small incision or no incision.
Oh, the
None.
needle puncture only. This is a, we're only allowed to do needle-based procedures at our facility by our designation and licensure that we're seeking. So we will only be doing injections. There'll be no incision. So this is not, you know, not technically a surgery, but we can do a fusion. You know, decades ago, a fusion was done by opening the spine and just laying bone in a fusion bed, and the patient would lay in the hospital for a month in a body cast until that started to get solid. And then the advent of screws and rods allowed people to get up and out of the hospital sooner, which was, you know, to make people money, make hospitals money, make insurance companies money. So did it advance things? In some cases, no. So we're going to go back to the old school method, because most people that have a fusion, you know, have a mild need for fusion. You know, there's a major need if you have a complete fracture or loss of stability. Then there's a minor need where it's what we call micro instability, where you have pain from motion. We might be able to treat that with an injected fusion. Now, that still takes weeks and months to heal, but it doesn't require the, you know, complete disruption and opening of the spine to do. So this is not new. It's just being reimagined at this very high-end level. And there is minimally invasive spine stuff going on. This is super minimally invasive, I would call it.
Is it almost like an injection that, I don't know, in my mind, I'm thinking like a type of almost like concrete that gets squirted in there and
Of
fuses
sorts. It's
it?
a biological concrete of sorts. Yeah. We still require the bone to grow and heal
Around
between
it.
spots. So we do a little bone prep and we lay out some bone minerals. It's called bone putty, and then we'll put some peptides, like a bone morphogenic protein in there to cause a fusion. Someone will wear, you know, when they're up out of bed, they'll wear sort of a clamshell brace just to keep it in the right position. But other than that, they can go home and exercise the next day. No need for, pain pills outside of some Tylenol for a few days. So we like that.
You know what this is reminding me of, except it's down on the back, is when you do dental implants and they have to prepare the bed of
Yes.
jaw, and
That's
then they
right.
come back 6 months later and they actually can do the implant.
Yes, but in this case we just do it all at one time, because in that preparation for the implant, they're asking bone to grow. Well, fusion just requires that. We're not going to go back and put anything in there.
Right.
Exactly right. Same thing. And we need the patient to be parasympathetic, so not stressed, because we want tissue to grow, and we know the body needs to be optimal, and anabolic, in a growth mode, eating the protein, taking the supplements, sleeping adequately, doing all this, things that, even though we knew were right, were not part of my surgical practice 30 years ago.
Right. And I realize that you are probably in a small percentage, maybe, of physicians, surgeons, and otherwise, that understand the whole component, that if we are denying the fact that the person is in stress, not sleeping, not eating properly, not exercising, that their body is not going to optimally recover.
Right.
You can do what you can do, but if they don't do their part.
Yeah. Sadly, I'm in that small percentage. But I had to find it, had to create it, had to learn it. So many of my colleagues are sadly just consumed by the dictums and the scripted nature of the sick care system and what insurance will cover, more importantly than what's best for a patient. And I'm just disgusted by, what's out there, and how people just have the blinders on, drink the Kool-Aid, and keep going at it, and just complain every day.
Is there any hope on the horizon in your mind?
No, I think we have two divergent sections of health, and that's the sick care system, and it's so mired in profit by insurance companies, and those lobbyists they hire will prevent our legislatures from ever fixing it, even though there are easy fixes to it. And then we have those of us that have been able to pull away and look back at it and go, that's wrong. And we're over here doing new and better and more natural, less invasive things to get the same or better result.
And what's truly sad is the newer, better isn't even covered by any kind of insurance for the most part.
Well, of course not, because those people that make money would not profit if patients got better with new technologies.
Right. I was in China years ago, and I was just amazed at the fact that the doctors there at that time, now it may have changed, but I met some physicians. And they were paid to keep people healthy. And if the patient got sick, they didn't charge them anything because they had to get them back to being healthy.
It's a great incentive. Like, that makes sense to me. We could fix the problem. Before 1980, mid 1980s, health insurance companies could only make a small margin. It was capped. It was like a public utility. And right now, United Healthcare makes more in a day than they spend out in healthcare in a year. So think about that. They profit more in a day than they actually spend in healthcare for their insured people in a year. That means they're making at least 365x on the premiums, probably more.
Wow.
So they don't have patients' best interest, even though they pretend to, or they say to, or there's legislature that says they have to. They don't. And that's why Medicare, which used to be a pretty decent insurance, is now it's no different than Medicaid. Right. And that's why people with Medicare are frustrated with their health insurance visit. It's a 5-minute interaction, most likely. They don't get to talk about other issues. Things are missed because a doctor has to see 12 patients an hour just to pay the rent. And the doctors are frustrated and don't know what to do with it because they're poor business people. And I guess maybe I was that for many years. And you have to hire extra people, one to get the approval, one to fight the denial, one to bill and complain. I mean, you're wasting money being a cog in the machine, adding more cogs to the machine, you just should get back to healthcare. That's why I think fee for service makes better sense. And they could fix this. If they allowed doctors to write off the discount on care, they'd be tripping over themselves to treat patients.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Where I live now in the state of Wisconsin, I've always been amazed. When you drive down the highway, the number of huge, and I don't mean tiny by any stretch, just gigantic campuses that are insurance campuses.
Oh yeah.
And UnitedHealth is anchored here.
Yeah, well, they are big money machine. So for all those out there that are frustrated with their health care, buy United Healthcare stock. At least you're making money on that frustrated visit. Every time you go to the doctor, pay the copay, buy a share. That's called a hedge.
Yeah, really, that is.
Is not official investment advice.
But it is, there's so much truth in it, and it's so sad. People that, and one of the fairly recent individuals that I've had on my show is into microdosing. That's using something that's natural,
Yep.
but they have had such success in controlling seizures and for Parkinson's. And it's not something to get high on. That's not what happens when you microdose. But people don't have enough understanding of what microdosing really is. And I'm sure they don't have very much understanding of what stem cells are all about.
Well, I'm sure that's because we can't make any claims. They're not approved claims, so we have to be very cautious. This is for educational purposes. It's based on good medical science, clinical observations, medical evidence, and judgment, but we're not allowed to make any claims.
Will you ever be allowed?
I don't know, and honestly, it doesn't change my practice because I'm here to help people,
Right.
not goof around with big pharma, driving big pharma's profits.
Right. I'm afraid that what you said a minute ago is probably horribly true, is that there isn't a solution unless we just somehow, some way, are either allowed to have two choices or kick the other one to the curb. And as long as there's the lobbyist and everything else going on, I don't know how that's going to ever work.
Not only do we have to maintain both choices, you're forced to, right? You have to have health insurance or you have a tax penalty, right? UnitedHealthcare and their brethren are laughing all the way to the bank. We got the Obama administration to make it wrong not to make us money. What a joke.
I hear you. I hear you. What else do we need to know, in today's call at least, about exosomes? Like if you were going to treat somebody, let's use the back as an
Yeah.
example. So patient X comes in, has had lower back problems for many, many years. Walk me through how this would look.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna take a little step back and jump into that. We have exosomes in nature. If you're eating fruits and vegetables, you're getting the plant exosomes. If you're having chicken soup or bone broth or bone marrow, you're getting exosomes. If you have colostrum or milk, you're getting exosomes. This isn't new. Okay. Exosomes are how plants deliver their phytonutrients. We've talked about that previously. We have a product centered on that. There are even mushrooms and algae produce exosomes. All species, all cells produce exosomes, at least eukaryotic cells that I know about. But if you came into me, first we need to isolate what's causing your pain. You may need an MRI. I may need to look at your lifestyle. Maybe you're eating a lot of pro-inflammatory foods. Sometimes just cleaning that up helps. Maybe we try some peptides. Maybe we figure out the pain generator. Maybe you have pain in your low back. You can't localize it. The MRI shows a few things. We might do a numbing injection with some lidocaine, which is a Novocaine type thing, to see if we can temporarily turn off the pain and prove where it's coming from. I can't address the source of pain until I have confirmation of the pain generator. I can't just shoot willy-nilly, although many doctors in the Medicare system do that. So we want to be precise. That's called precision medicine. We want to customize it for the individual. Everyone's different. And then once we identify that, if it's like a facet joint in your back or something, we can actually target those structures with regenerative biologics, particularly exosome therapeutics. And sometimes that reduces the inflammation significantly. And we've even seen cartilage regeneration. So these are things we've seen. I have examples of it. I'm not just shooting from the hip here, based on protocols in Europe that have been published on 15-year follow-up. Everything we do is based on some good background, some science, some logic, not some whether or not insurance will pay for it, scripted Kool-Aid consumed sick care nonsense.
So once you have all of the information and can present it to the person, then from sort of beginning to end, how many weeks?
Well, it depends on the issue and how bad it is, but it's a single injection. Some people have an initial anti-inflammatory benefit almost soon thereafter, days or weeks. But the actual regeneration takes months, sometimes 6 to 12 months. So we don't even look at an MRI again for a year, and we would only do that if they need to. The vast majority of our patients are great at 1 year, and we don't have a need for that. I've done over 750 different joints and body parts since I've been doing this. And I think we've had three people that didn't get enough result and they've gone on to have surgery. They just were suffering too much and weren't patient. Had one person who we did two knees and a shoulder. The knees did great. The shoulder didn't make it. We repeated the MRI on the shoulder. I did a booster injection on the shoulder. Now she's fantastic. So I'm still getting better at designing how much to give in terms of a dose of the exosomes, how to deliver it, where to deliver it. I'm designing this on the fly, so we're getting better and better at targeting it.
Targeting. And in your estimation, something like this, if the person was in their 50s or 60s, would it probably last them the rest of their life?
I see, generally speaking, because I'm not allowed to make claims, that we are stopping and reversing the process called osteoarthritis, which is the process of degeneration, the process of cartilage loss that leads towards what some people call bone on bone when they're looking to do surgery. That leads to handling small tears, right? Because you can have tears if you have thick cartilage. It's the thin, dried out cartilage you see in the perimenopausal or postmenopausal group that really is hard to treat. But we see people in all age groups where we've been able to stop and reverse the process symptomatically, how they feel, and by the MRIs we've done before and after, not on everybody, but in the ones we've done. And the goal is to put them backwards, like you said, so that they're still going to use their joint, use their shoulder, use their knee, use their back. And it will degenerate because life causes that. And, at 20 years, might we need to do it again? Possibly. The research studies have published 15-year follow-up out of France. So we don't know, but we expect over time you're going to go back to your normal degenerative programming. We just set it backwards, like a reset. It's like, we had all our plumbing cleaned out. So now you start all over again. And over the years, it'll slowly clog up again, right? So you have to clean it out every 10 or 20 years.
And that makes sense. I mean, we wouldn't expect the oil in our cars to last indefinitely, or so I mean, things have to be replaced or at least rebuilt. And this is a rebuilding process.
That's rejuvenation.
Yep, that is rejuvenation. I would think, and this is just me, but I mean, I played pretty competitive golf when I was younger, and I'm thinking about all these pros, including, of course, Tiger Woods, but all of the pros that their backs, their knees, their hips, their arms, their shoulders, are going to benefit from this kind of treatment. Well, now we have this very competitive, oh shoot, not racquetball, but the
Pickleball.
pickleball. Oh my gosh.
And
It started out as something that was supposed to be just kind of a fun, not tennis, not as aggressive. Now it's as much aggressive as tennis is. So, but
I
all of those individuals that are playing are going to have parts that are going to wear out. So this is a natural, less invasive, optimal kind of procedure that would allow them to get better quickly
yeah.
and maybe resume new sports that they now love.
That's the goal. We got to keep moving, build, maintain weight bearing, muscle and bone growth, because both are associated with longevity. Exercise is crucial for brain health. Release those small peptides when you exercise out of your muscles, called myokines or exerkines. You release MOTS-C, a peptide for your mitochondria, when you exercise. So all these things are crucial.
I hear you. And we want to live to be old, but not decrepit. We want to be able to move around, enjoy life, have our faculties, so to speak, just as good as they were in our 50s, even though we might be 90.
Exactly. That's health span, right? Not just longevity, but
Yes.
healthy longevity.
Yes. Healthy longevity. Well, thank you for being back on the show. I'm sure we
Any
have given people at least some things to chew on and understand about their own physicality and where they're going with their life and how they
Yeah.
want to arrive at the end of their life.
I'm always happy to be here. Good, great to see you again, and
Nice to see you too.
everyone listening, hi out there.
So, your information will be on the synopsis at the bottom, so they'll be able to contact you. And I hope you have a beautiful summer ahead of you.
You too. Be well. Be well, everyone.
All right. Have a great life out there, everyone. And be sure to share this show with your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones and help them stay healthy the best way that we now know is possible. Talk to you next week.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.